Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Moed Katan Daf Yud Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 11 lines from the top of Daf Yud Aleph at the Mishnah. Oisin Maike Legag Ulumirpesis Maise Hedyot Avoloi Maise Uman. We continue, of course, with the halachas regarding what is allowed and what is not allowed during Chol Hamoed by way of malachas. So the Mishnah teaches that you can make a maika. Maika is a fence around a roof or a mirpesis or a balcony, provided that the fence that you're making is of a non-professional nature. And the Gemara will explain what that means. But if it requires a professional to do it, then it's not allowed. Shofen es hasdokin umagilin oison b'magilo b'yadavu regel. The Mishnah describes smoothing out stokin, cracks, that are in a tanur. A tanur is an oven, and we're dealing with clay ovens, and the bread that you would bake in these ovens was baked along the walls. In other words, dough was slapped on the walls of the oven, and the bread would bake thusly. So it was very important that the sides of the oven have smooth walls, so that you're allowed to smooth out those cracks and to fill them in with clay or other plaster material and smooth it out. And the Mishnah says you can do it with a magila. A magila is a utensil. It's a craftsman's tool, and by hand and by foot. Avalo b'melchatzayim. However, not to use a melchatzayim. So the Mishnah makes a distinction between a magila and a melchatzayim. Rashi describes magila nois of a magila shigulin al kakoy satanur eitz godol ogol. You would roll around on the floor of the oven a large, round-shaped wooden device. Kidei listam es hastokim reminds one maybe of a rolling pin, but not a mechotzayim. This is Rashi describes a chotzayim eitz. That's a piece of wood. Kein regel. It looks like a foot. Shedochako b'maziva listam hastokim v'yeshbo ma'ase umon yosim yagila. It's a more professional type of device or tool than the magila, and hence it's not allowed. The Gemara, however, you will find qualifies everything that we've learned here in the Mishnah. The following is a list of items that are associated with doors and houses. Hatsir v'hamanul. The tsir is a hinge or a pin that extends forth from the edges of a door, and they are inserted into a socket from the top and the bottom of the door, and that's the socket is the tsinor, and the door swivels on that. Bakura is a beam, manul is a lock, and mafteh is a key. Shenishburu, any of these that happen to have broken, misaknon b'moyed, you're allowed to repair them during Chol Hamoed. This is provided that you weren't in a situation that you could have done it before Chol Hamoed, but you planned to do it, to delay in repairing them until Chol Hamoed, when people generally are not working and you have more free time. So if one does plan things like that, then it's not allowed. V'chol kvoshim shu yochol lechol mehen b'moed kovshan, all picklings, the for example, people will pickle fish or different kinds of vegetables. So if you are able to eat of them at some time during the holiday, so earlier in the holiday, you can pickle them. In other words, you have to take into consideration the time frame till they become ready, and if that time frame is such that they'll become ready to eat during the holiday. So you can do the pickling, you can start earlier in the holiday for that purpose. The Gemara now focuses on the expressions Maise Hedyot and Maise Uman that we saw in the Mishnah. Hechi Domi Maise Hedyot. What is meant by that when you're dealing with making a fence around a roof or a balcony? What is that? So Rav Yosef Omar, Rav Yosef explains, Behutza V'dafna, a type of branch work. Rashi explains that Hutza are branches from a palm tree. So branch type work is allowed. B'masnisa Tana, a second approach is B'tsror V'eno Toch Betit. Tsror B'tsror V'eno Toch Betit means you can line up stones one upon the other, provided that you don't cement them into place. Shofenes Astokin Magilin Oison B'Magila. The Gemara asks, the Mishnah had mentioned that you can smooth out the cracks using a magila. You can do it by hand, by foot. So, is there not a excess information in this Mishnah? Hashto b'magila amrishori. You tell me that you can use this tool, which is more professional than doing it by hand. B'yad uveregel mibaya. Do I have to tell you that you're allowed to do it by hand or by foot? In other words, if you can use a device to aid in smoothing out the inner sides of the tanur, so certainly you'd be able to do it by foot or by hand, which is more manual, more conventional, or say less professional. So why does the Mishnah have to tell me, once having told me you can do it b'magila, why does the Mishnah have to add that which is even more obvious? So the Gemara answers, Hochi Komar, the following is the understanding of the Mishnah. Shofen es hastokin, hu magilin oison ka'ain magila. Means you can smooth out the cracks and fill them in like as if you were using a magila, but you're not allowed to use an actual magila. What you are allowed to do is biyad v'regel, but purely manual, by hand or by foot. Avolo b'mechatzayim, not using the mechatzayim device. So as far as the Gemara is concerned, the smoothing out of the oven cracks is allowed, provided you do it strictly by hand or by foot, not using these different devices. Hatsir v'atzinor v'akuro v'mano v'mefteach shenishbru mesaknon v'moye. These different elements that we explained in the Mishnah, you can fix them on Chol HaMoed. We have a contradictory source. It says Ve'ad Yomov. This is a source that's quoted a bit out of context, but it's a reference to the time of Yoichanan Kohen Gadol, until his days, which was a time in history in the Second Temple period, around the time of the Chashmonoim, if you will, the Hanukkah period of time. So until the days of Yoichanan Kohen Gadol, Hayapatish Make B'Yushalayim, the sounds of hammers banging could be heard in Jerusalem during Chol HaMoed. And we infer Ad Yomov in, until his days, that was the case, Mikan Ve'elich Lo. But beyond that time, he ruled otherwise, that it cannot be done. So how can our Mishnah say that you can repair these different elements on Chol HaMoed, when much earlier in history, the repairs, which would involve hammers, were forbidden? The Gemara answers, Lo Kashi. You'll notice we have a volcano shape, a trapezoid form, and on the side of the Gemara there were no Sei Mivne heading. We feature four drachim liyashev stira bein mishnaseinu, with four derechs, four different ways of resolving the seeming contradiction between our mission, the mashma, the mutter la'roich tikunim b'moed. Our mission implies that it's mutter to make these repairs during Chol HaMoed. Mishnah b'Maaser Sheni, the Mishnah that we quoted from Maseches Maaser Sheni with Yochanan Kohen Gadol, which demashma d'shachrei gzeres Yochanan Kohen Gadol osur b'Moed, that after he ruled to the contrary, that there are no more repairs that can take place during Chol HaMoed. So how do we resolve these two sources? So, as we indicated, there are a number of resolutions. So the first one is, Lo Kashiakan, bede napri, kan bede nagri. Rashi, we look at Rashi bede napri, the patish, the hammer, hainu kurnis, the type of a specific kind of hammer, osir, davi kola rabba, makes a lot of noise, valoidi kol osir, and the producing of sounds, of loud sounds, is that which was forbidden. There's another Rashi where there's a star, masnisin, the mesaknin, the Mishnah that indicated you are allowed to do, mesaknin eilu b'chol shemoyed, bidinagri, bibanul shel eitz, shori, delohavi kola rabba. It's a wooden lock which doesn't create much noise when it's banged. So the contrast would be based on the noise level. If it's a wooden lock, so the banging won't produce a lot of noise, and otherwise it would. Maskif lo, Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda asks, what kind of resolution is this? Yomru, people will say, kola rabba osir, kola zutur, shori. People will think that making loud noises is forbidden, making softer noises, but they are noises, that's allowed. And Rav Chisda doesn't like that approach. Rashi doesn't explain what the objection is to that, but it could very well be that you don't have an absolute standard. What might appear as loud to one is really soft to the next. So halacha must be formulated in a way that you have an absolute standard, a standard that can be understood by everybody. Things should be black and white. So Ella Omra Rav Chisda comes up with his approach. Ha b'magli, ha b'chatzini. Once again, we look at Rashi. Magli meser hagodol. It's a large type of utensil or a tool. Shori, delo molid kola klum. It doesn't produce any sound. If you read Rashi carefully, you see here he says, klum, no sound at all. And hence, using that utensil or that tool, it's allowed. Ha b'chatzini, however, if you're going to make your repairs with a chatzini, this makes more noise. And Rashi gives a French word to explain what a chatzini is, but for our purposes, we have to see how a resolution between the two sources is taking place. And according to Rav Chisda, it's quite clear that which we allow, those are repairs when no sound is emitted. And the other is when the source that indicates the prohibition, that's when sounds are emitted. Rav Popo Amar, kan koidem gzera, kan li achar gzera. Rav Papa is a very simple resolution. The source that indicates that repairs are forbidden, that's after the Gzera. That's after Yochanan Kohen Gadol made his ruling. Our Mishnah turns out to be then a very early source. And that was Koidim Gzera, before the Gzera. So the repairs, even though they resulted in noise making, they were allowed. It goes without saying, and maybe it's obvious, but Chol HaMoed, as we've spoken about in our recent shurim, is quasi-holiday, or in certain areas, certain people perceive it as basically it is a holiday with some exceptions of what we allow you to do a little more than on the first and last days of the holiday itself. Therefore, one should avoid things that are non-holiday-like, and banging noises, repairings, all these kind of activities violate the spirit of the holiday. So whatever reduces that violation, there's more chance of it becoming allowed. Rav Ashi, we continue in the Gemara, Omar, Ha Rav Yehuda, the source that from Maaser Sheni, which indicates restriction. That's according to Rabbi Yehuda. Ha, Rabbi Yossi, and our Mishnah, which is lenient, is in accordance with Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is cited here by name, but really the Shita that we're referring to, we haven't learned yet. But Rashi points out that Rabbi Yossi, when you're dealing with something that is a matter of loss, a Dover HaOvid, you can proceed to rectify the situation, to prevent the loss, without doing things in an unusual way, without a shinui. So our Mishnah, which is matir, doing these repairs, and it seems when it's matir means straight off, without any changes or any unusual methods that are demanded, that's in accordance with Rabbi Yossi, the Om Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. Rabbi Yitzchak taught, Man Tana Shinui B'moyed B'dover Ovid. Who is the Tana that says that you have to do a Shinui, even though you're dealing with a Dover Ovid, even though you're dealing with prevention of loss, but if you are going to repair the situation, you're going to rectify the situation, you have to do it B'Shinui. Who is the Tana, who is the author behind that idea? That even though it's a Dover Ovid, even though it's a matter of preventing loss, you've got to do it in an unusual way. Daloi Rabbi Yossi. That's not like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi does not require the Shinui. And hence when we said our Mishnah, which is lenient, is in accordance with Rabbi Yossi, that you can see here, he is the one that says that you don't have to do a Shinui, you don't have to do it in an unusual way, you don't have to do the repair in an unusual way when you're out to prevent a loss. And certainly a house that has no lock on it is inviting, the owner is inviting trouble for himself, thieves, robbers, and the like. So that's certainly in the realm of Dover Ovid, something that it constitutes prevention of loss. Omar Ravina, Keman Madlinon Ho'idno Kavusa de Dosha B'Choyla de Moyada. According to whom do we allow the removal of nails that protrude from beams that are over doorways, and those protruding nails apparently can result in the inability to close the door, possibly. But there is someone that allows the removal of those protruding nails on Chol HaMoed. Who allows that to do it without a Shinui? Kaman K'Rabbi Yossi. That is in accordance with Rabbi Yossi, who is lenient with regard to expecting a Shinui. Namely, he doesn't require a Shinui, a change, an unusual way of doing it when you're dealing with a Dover of it. Kavoshim Shuyocho Lecho B'moye Kovshan Bedisa L'boy Kavri. Bedisa is the name of a river, and a lot of fish were swept up on the banks of that river. Ozukuli almot sod aisu kavra. And all the people went out on, apparently was during the holiday, they went and gathered the fish. There's a comment made in the Bach that's an ois aleph, and he has the Gerson instead of just bedisa, bepum bedisa. And the Ran explains that Pum is the name of a place along the banks of the river Bedisa. And the expression Leboi Kavra is that they went and brought in a lot of fish, because what happened there was the river apparently dried out and a lot of fish died as a result. So this took place on Chol HaMoed. Shora, we continue in the Gemara with a new marking. So, and we should point out on the side before we get into the Gemara text itself, we have a topic heading in Osei, Kvishas Mazon B'moi. We're dealing with preserving or pickling food during the holiday. Im Yeh Muchon B'moid, Imlo Kovshin Yeh Nifsa. There are two elements to allow the preservation of food during the holiday. One is that it will be ready during the holiday, that you start at the beginning, early part of Chol HaMoed, pickle the food and it'll be ready by the end of Chol HaMoed. And another factor is if you don't pickle it, it'll be a total loss. The Mivneh, under the Mivneh heading, we feature a bow tie, and the bow tie highlights Shnei Lishoinois, two versions, B'maisa Shamlichas HaDogin B'moed, Sheviu Minahar Bedisa, two versions of the story involving the salting or preserving of the fish that they brought in from that river, the Bedisa River. The Gemara. So we mentioned that a lot of fish were gathered on Chol HaMoed. Shorluhu Rava, we're at the first bow tie shape. Shorluhu Rava, Rava allowed Lemimlach Minayu, to salt them. The Rashi on the second line under the Gemara, Lemimlach, lemolchon harbe, a lot of salt applied to them. Even though they will not be edible during the holiday, they're very salted, so that the amount of time that it will take till they become ready would be till after the holiday. So Rava allowed this. Omar Luhu Le Abaye. Abaye asks, "V'hotnan, have we not learned? Kvoshim shuyochol leochol mehen b'moyed kovshan. Only those items that you preserve during the holiday, that will be ready during the holiday, that is what is allowed. But here, you can see that the people applied a lot of salt, their intention was not to eat it during the holiday. It's there to preserve it for a long time, and it won't be ready during the holiday because of the amount of salt and what their goal was. So it's not something that's going to be ready during the holiday." The Gemara answers. Omar Le, Rava answers Abaye's objection. Kevon de Meikora, Adaito Dachila Aisinu. Since those people in Pumbedisa, their original intention was for eating during the holiday. They gathered them initially for Achila during the holiday. The Shavik Lu, but if they leave over the fish that they didn't eat, pasti, it'll be a total loss. In other words, they brought in a large amount, more than they could eat. They brought it in initially for eating purposes, and they saw that they weren't going to finish the fish. So the only option was to salt them. Otherwise, it would rot. So keprakmatya ha'ovid domi v'shari. It then falls into the category of merchandise that one will experience a loss on if he doesn't do something about it, and therefore it was allowed. V'ika d'yamri, another version of the story, shori l'rova, meitzad, mezal, aisuyu mimlach. Rava allowed, again, this is a second version of the story with the fish in Pupadisa, so it says Rava allowed them to go and collect the fish and salt them. Omar le Abaye. Abaye asks, "Vo anan kivoshim shu yochol lechol mehen b'moyed kovshon tnan." The Mishnah was restrictive. It said you're allowed to pickle, to preserve, to salt only that which you'll be able to eat during the holiday. And it was apparently visible from here, from what Rava allowed them to do was to do a more long term salting procedure. Omar Lay, Rava answers, "Hani Nami, the fish that I allowed them to salt, misachli agav itzitzah, they can be eaten during the holiday if you apply pressure to them that would draw the salt out of them." And hence they'll be able to be eaten during the holiday itself. Kiha de Shmuel, Avdu le Shisin Itzitzi v'ochal, a story involving Shmuel where they, Rashi explains here, they washed the fish off a great deal, 60 times, and he was able to eat them. So that even though one does pickle them or salt them extensively, that doesn't preclude the possibility of them being eaten during the holiday as well. Rava Ikla Lebei Reish Galusa. Rava visited the home of the exilarch, Avdi Le Shisen Itzitzi V'Ochal, and they did this 60 times, 60 washings, and he was able to eat of them. Rav Ikla Lebei Rav Shafir. Rav visited on the Cholamoyed, the home of Rav Shafir. Aisu Lekamayu Hahu Kavro. They brought a fish to them to eat. Tilsa Bishula, Tilsa Milcha, Vitilsa Tavya. It was a third cooked, a third salted, and a third roasted. Omar Rav. And before we go on in the Gemara, we have a new marking, the triangle that is featured on the side. Sidra Shel Dvorim, these are a series of items. She Rav Mevi B'Shem Ado Tzaida, that Rav quotes in the name of Ado the trapsman, She Mishutof Lekulam Dvorim Hakshurim Lachilas Dogim. You'll see that the theme, the common point, is the eating of fish. So Rav tells us, Omar Li Ado Tzaida, Ado Tzaida, Ado the trapsman told me, Kavra Somuch Lemisreche Ma'ali. Kavra, fish, near the time, just before they rot, they go bad, they're actually very healthy. Rashi says on this, Somuch Lemisreche Ma'ali, Klomar, Yofehu Li'achar Zman Shenitzod, Yoser Mehi Shaita Denitzod. The fish are better when you eat them a while after they have been trapped, more so than soon after they have been caught. Now there's a very important comment made by Tosfos here, which has ramifications for many different areas of the Talmud, of the Shas. The Tosfos says, Kavro somuch lemisruche mali, ubizman hazeh. Now Tosfos is speaking, in his terms, he says, nowadays, realize that you're talking about a time period in the, we'll say, the 1100s or 1200s, what's referred to sometimes as the 12th or 13th century. And the Gemara, when it says what it says, the Gemara's time reference, frame of reference is approximately 300 or 400 of the Common Era. So Tosfos, he says, and nowadays, so Tosfos is speaking, let's say, 700-800 years after the Gemara, and he says, nowadays, Tosfin sakona lemechal somach lesirchon. It would be dangerous to eat fish moments before it starts to rot. In other words, that's not healthy. Vegam, and furthermore, mishti ala avua, di omar besomach, demali. Likewise, with regard to that which is said later in the Gemara on this topic about drinking water after eating these fish, likewise, is not something advisable. So you'll ask, but the Gemara says this is healthy. How can we say that it's not? The Shemo Nishtanu, it could be that there are elements of physicality that have changed. Kamohu Refuah Shebashas, Shenon Tovis Bizmanazeh. The Shas is replete with remedies and comments involving therapeutic matters that if you were to do them nowadays, they wouldn't be effective whatsoever. So that based on the idea of nishtanu, things have changed, so we today would not follow that which you see here in the Gemara. Oy shemon aros de Bovel, malu lotve, or it could be that the rivers of Bovel are better, produce some better quality fish than our rivers. Tosfos, of course, is speaking in terms of Central Europe. V'yesh meforshim de kavro lo bechlal dogim mairi v'shem dag sheshmo kavro u'mishuna b'dvarim o'edo. Another approach is that the reference to kavro is a specific kind of fish and not a general comment regarding all fish. And with regard to these matters, it is unique. Kiramrim perikol basar, as the Gemara in Chulin says, Osar lon girusa, shor lon lishno de kavra. The Torah prohibits the eating of girusa, but it does allow the eating of the tongue of kavra. V'ein nirashye b'chol ha'lishon shodogim tam echon. It's not likely that the term kavra mentioned in Chulin is a reference to all fish tongues, that they all have the same taste. So he's strengthening by quoting the Gemara in Chulin this idea that kavra is really the reference of it to a specific kind of fish. After all is said and done, though, you have a very important source here regarding a very specific matter, and that is that with regard to therapeutic counsel and various remedies that are mentioned throughout the Shas, one should not necessarily apply those procedures to what we do nowadays. But one has to be very careful with this kind of comment. Of course, Tosfos has the strength to make comments like that by virtue of the fact that they are from the Rishonim period of time and had a much greater level of clarity with regard to understanding and the tradition of the Gemara. But to apply this idea of nishtanu, of things have changed with regard to other matters, other than the realm of remedy and therapeutic value, unless you have the authority of a rishon, of commentaries from that have that stature of the Rishonim period, and not just any one, but those of significant national acceptance, if you will, only then can you start talking about things have changed. But for someone nowadays to come along and decide that, well, things have changed since the time of the Mishnah, of the Gemara, and therefore we're not bound by that which it says in the Talmud, that heaven forbid such thoughts. I repeat, the concept of things have changed can be brought to the fore only and only if you have the authority of a major Rishon figure. But on one's own to discount various teachings in the Talmud based on this idea that things have changed, one should stay far away from thinking like that, and from any movements or streams of Judaism that would subscribe to such concepts. And one would only be surprised time and time again to see how timeless the words of the sages of the Talmud are, in fact. It would take too much time from our Dafyomi forum and context to elaborate on that matter, but as the saying goes, sometimes the facts are stranger than fiction. And you see things mentioned in the Talmud that one might have thought are preposterous, and in reality they reflect the absolute truth and occupy the front stage and cutting edge of technology, once you know how to analyze and apply the principles that you see in our everlasting divine oral tradition. That having been said, we turn back to the Gemara. V'omar Rav, another statement Rav makes in the name of the same person, he says, Omar li Adot Saida told me, Kavra, regarding this fish, Tavya, and here we're going to read a line that's going to sound as if it were a riddle, and then we'll have to decipher it. So first we'll translate, and it will sound unusual. He says, regarding the fish, the Kavra, Tavya be'achva, roasted with its brother, Asuke be'avua, or it's after it's been roasted, so you then serve it with its father. Michli be'brei, you eat it with its son. Ashti ole avua, and then drink after it its father. So now we've got to fill in the blanks. We go over this again. Tavya be'achva, roasted with its brother. Its brother, the fish, is found in the sea. And in the sea, there is a lot of salt. So along with the fish, there is also salt. So you roast it in salt. Asuke bavua. And after it's been roasted, you put it into its father. What's the father of the fish? Well, fish were created from the water. So the water is the source of the fish. Hence, you put the fish into cold water after it's been roasted. And then michli bevrei, eat it with its son. The fish produces a brine. The brine is exuded from the fish. So it's a product of the fish. It's considered like the son of the product of the son of the fish. And ashti alei maya, drink afterwards avua. Avua is its father. It's again a reference to water, as we saw at the beginning of this line. So drink water after eating the fish. The Omar Rav, Omar Li Ada Tzaida, Kavro Tachli V'chalbo. These three items, fish, tachli, type of vegetation, and chalvo, and milk, liton gufo velo liton puria. After eating these, it's advised that one should walk a lot, and not go to his bed. Puria is a bed, not to load up your bed immediately. In other words, don't sleep immediately after eating these things. The Omar Rav, and Rav says, again, Omar li ado tzayda. Kavro tachli b'chabo, the same three items. Maya velo shichro, shichro velo chamro. If you want to drink something after any of these items, better to drink water after them than drinking beer. And if, let's say, it's a choice of beer or wine, so we say shichro velo chamro, better to drink beer after it, but not wine. As you can see with that, we've come to the end of the first parak of Moed Katan. We continue now on Omid Beis with the beginning of the second parak. So at the top of Omid Beis, Mi Shehofach is Zesov. The Mishnah speaks about, it opens speaking about the period of mourning. If one, heaven forbid, loses a close relative and he has to observe the week of mourning, so a mourner is restricted in many activities. So here we're describing someone who in the course of the year, he was a person who was going to make olive oil, produce olive oil. In order to do so, one first piles up the olives. They soften and they heat up, and then he flips them over. That's hofach. He flipped over the pile of olives at the olive press in anticipation of producing oil, and then the iru avel. He became a mourner. Someone died, and he had these zeisim that were ready for being pressed. Oy oynes, or something else happened that. Before a holiday, which prevented him from finishing off the olive oil processing. So some oinus happened, something beyond his control happened before a holiday. O shitu poyalim, or before a holiday, workers who had promised to finish the job before the holiday, they backed out. So now you're in a real bind. You've got these olives that have been tended to, they've been flipped over, and they need to be pressed, and if not, there's going to be a total loss on them. So the problem arose either before the mourning period, or that is, he became a mourner when he had the olives were about ready to be processed, or circumstances that were unanticipated arose right before the holiday, at the time that he had thought he would finish off the job. So we have two opinions in the Mishnah. What is he to do now? Toyein koiro rishayno umanicho la'achar hamoi. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. He's a more restrictive of the two opinions that we're going to see. He says you can place a heavy beam on the pile of olives that will start the squeezing process, and after the holiday, so he'll finish off the job. You see, if he doesn't do this, if he doesn't put the beam on them, he's going to experience a great loss. The olives just will go bad without him having produced any oil. So this is, we'll call this it's a first stage in the olive processing after they've been flipped over, so that is allowed, but not more than that. Rabbi Yossi, Oimer Zoylev V'goymer V'gof Kedarko. Rabbi Yossi says you can put the olives into the olive press and have them squeezed out completely. And of course, we're talking about during Chol HaMoed. We're going to allow this. And then, you can then have them, then Gof Kedarko is to seal up that which contains the oil after it's been produced. So Rabbi Yossi is more flexible, more lenient, more allowing than Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara asks, in terms of the structure of the Mishnah, Posach be'Ovel, the Mishnah spoke about a person becoming an Ovel, and V'siyim be'Moed, and then it continued talking about what happens if something went awry before the holiday, but it was focusing on holiday. It didn't speak about the mourner. So once again, the Mishnah mentioned that someone had his olives prepared, and then he became an ovel, and it didn't tell us what is mutter to be done. Only with regard to the holiday did the Mishnah teach us what was mutter to be done. So you see, we have a marking, a double underline, and on the side of the one that our nosei mivne heading, we feature with the double underline shnei gishos, two approaches lahasbir mivne haMishnah, to explain the structure of the Mishnah. Posach b'ovel v'siyem b'moed, that which the Mishnah opens up talking about mourning and then ends off talking about the holiday. So we can turn back to the Gemara. Omar Rav Shisha Brei de Rav Idi Zois Oimeres. This Mishnah therefore tells us by virtue of the fact that it mentioned the mourner but didn't tell us a solution regarding the mourner. It told us a solution only with regard to the holiday circumstances. We learn from this Devorim Hamutorim B'Moed, activities that are mutter during Chol HaMoed. For example, the finishing off of the olive squeezing process, that is mutter b'moyed, asurin b'me'evlo. We're speaking in a somewhat abbreviated form here, but when we say that this is mutter during moed, of course, when things had not gone as planned before the moed, you were confronted with a possible loss, so we have an allowance for the holiday, but those very things that we allow for during the holiday, asurin b'me'evlo, they would be prohibited during the mourning period, so that if someone was hofach ezesav and then lo aleinu, heaven forbid, became a mourner, too bad. He can't finish, he can't place the heavy beam on the olives as a mourner, or he cannot have the olives pressed, as Rabbi Yossi points out. Rav Ashi, Omar Rav Ashi, is a totally different approach. He says as follows, lo mibaya koma. The structure of the Mishnah is in the I don't have to tell you form. Lo mibaya bime evlo demrabonon hu vishari. I don't have to tell you about a heter, about an allowance for a mourner to finish off the job. That's certainly allowed, based on the idea that the idea of observing a week of mourning is purely rabbinic in nature. It's not Torah based. It's rabbinic. And therefore there's much more room for leniency. So I don't have to tell you the heter, the leniency regarding the mourning period. Even regarding the holiday, the Isur Malacha Midoraisa, where the issue of doing malachas during the holiday touches on matters that are of a Torah nature, where there's an issue of avoiding loss, the Rabbanon allow. They allow, like we saw Rabbi Yudah said, they allow placing the beam on the olives, even though that would involve a malocha midoraisa. But since there is an element of loss and we're dealing with chol hamoed, so the Torah gave license to the rabbis to define those activities that we will compromise on or be lenient with their regard. So the Mishnah makes perfect sense according to Ravashi. The Mishnah didn't have to spell out matters concerning the Ovel when that would have followed simply from the fact that we are providing for a leniency regarding the Moed, which is a Torah level concern. So if I'm lenient with regard to something that is of a Torah level, certainly I can afford to be lenient with regard to something that is simply or purely rabbinic in nature. Tanyo kavose de Rav Shisha bre de Rav Idi. And here we have a Tanaic source that supports the more restrictive approach, that of Rav Shisha, that an Ovel is not allowed to do these things. So you can see that we have a rather long Tanaic source, and on the side of the word our nose, our topic heading, we've noted Malachos, the Hesdere Avoida, different activities and work arrangements, Sha'asurin La'ovel, that are forbidden for the mourner, Ube'ezit Tnoim Efshulatir, under what circumstances could we be lenient? So we start the source. V'elu dvorim ha'oisin la'ovel b'me'evlo. The following are things that others can do for the mourner during his mourning period. But when we say that, realize we're talking about others doing it for him, but the Ovel himself is restricted. Zeisav hafuchen toanin lo. And this has direct relevance to why we brought in the source that the Ovel himself is usur in dealing with the zeisim hafuchim, the olives that had been piled up and flipped over in anticipation of there being the source of oil. But others can do it for him, can put toanim lo to place the beam on them. The kado means his kad, his jar. Loguf, or his barrel, could be, it's a container that needs to be sealed. The kadoi loguf, upishton las min amishra. Pishton is flax reeds that are soaking in water. They have a certain amount of time that they need to be soaked, beyond which they would go bad. So they have to be removed from the mashra, from their soaking. The tzimro lahalos min ayora, wool that was sitting in a pot, absorbing dyes. And the wool needs to be taken out at a certain point. If not, it'll be ruined. So these are different matters that involve that have a potential loss associated with them if not done. So others can do these things for the mourner. In other words, as this individual has set up the soaking of the flax or the dyeing of the wool before he became a mourner, and then all of a sudden these are things that are generally speaking not planned. That someone dies, and didn't know that was going to take place, so now he's found in a lurch. So we're telling you here that others can do these things for him, but the mourner himself has work restrictions. He's not allowed to engage in different malachas. Umarbitzin sodehu mishatagia oinas hamayim shaloi. This has to do with watering a person's field when the time has come for that. Rashi, toward the end of the narrow line, says mishatagia oinas hamayim shaloi kshigia zmanu lahashkes sodeh shikacha yunoyagim kol echod veechod mashke kol asodeh shibabiko ish yoimoy oishavua echod. People had fields in a certain area, a certain region, and people would draw water from a water supply. Each person had an assigned day or an assigned week for doing that. So when this particular mourner's time came and he couldn't do it himself, he couldn't water the field because he's a mourner, so others can do it for him. Rav Yehuda Omer Af Zorin Lo. Rav Yehuda says we can allow even the planting of his fields. Others would plant his field for him. Sada Nir V'Sada Hoimedes L'Pishtan. Sada Nir is a field that was plowed up, readied to be planted. And Sada Hoimedes L'Pishtan is a field for flax production. And if you don't catch it on time, if you don't plant it on time, you won't be able to plant it with the pishton any later during that year. So we have, so Rav Yehuda allows these things to be done for him. Omru lo, the Rabbanon, who are more restrictive than Rav Yehuda in this case, they say im lo tiz rabba bocher tiz rabba ofel. If he doesn't plant early, he can plant later on. Im lo tiz rab pishton tiz rab miminacher. If he loses the chance to plant pishtun, let him plant something else. So it's not considered a sufficient amount of loss to justify even others doing these things on his behalf. Let the ovel wait out the finish at the week of mourning and do these plant later on, or plant something else. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer. We've used a triangle to highlight his name. He has comments made in this source. So he says, Zeisav hafuchin, if the olives have been flipped over, v'ein shom umon elohu, and there's no other professional other than the mourner himself, kader loguf, v'ein shom umon elohu, the need to have a barrel sealed, and there's no one expert in doing it other than the mourner himself. Pishtanu lalos min amashu v'tzimru lalos min ha-yoyre v'ein shom umon elohu harei ze yase b'tzina. We allow, so Rav Shmuel Gamliel has a leniency that, being that there's no one else around to do it, will allow the mourner to do it himself, provided he does so in a non-obvious fashion. Sinul means in privacy, where others don't see it. We want to preserve the dignity of the mourning period, but then at the same time, we don't want him to suffer a loss. Yeser al Kain, Omar, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, another comment of his, Im Hoya Umon L'Rabim, if the mourner was a professional needed by the public. The Sapar Ubalon L'Rabim, he might have been a barber or a bathhouse attendant that served the public. Vigia Eis Horegel, Vien Shom Umon Elohu, and let's say someone had become a mourner rather close to the holiday. But as everyone knows, before the holiday, people like to get ready for the holiday, and that involves taking haircuts, taking baths in the bathhouse. So if the holiday comes and there's no one other than the mourner who happens to, there's no one else capable of doing these things other than he, so Hareze Yaseh, he is allowed to do these things, being that the public is dependent exclusively on him. Ha'arisen v'chakirin v'kablonin, hare elu yasu achirim bishvilon. These are different types of work arrangements, agricultural work arrangements. An oros is translated often as a sharecropper, where he gets a certain percentage of the field. In other words, he works someone else's field and gets a percentage of the harvest. V'hakirin, these are people that also work other people's fields, and their arrangement is that they get a fixed quantity of harvest. V'gablonin, Rashi says on the fourth line under the Gemara text, V'gablonin shekiblu l'shomro l'zman ploni v'schum kach v'kach. The person received a job to do, to watch a field for a certain amount of time. Let's say to watch a field for a month for a certain fixed amount of money. B'schum kach v'kach, bein yaharbe o ma'at, harei elu yasu achirim b'shvilam. So that's what the source says, that these arisen, the chakirin and the kablonin, harei elu yasu achirim b'shvilam, others should take their place and work for them. After all, we're talking about a mourner, so we want others to do it for them. Hachamorim, hagamolim, chamorim are donkey drivers, gamolim camel drivers, fasaponim ship hands, hare elu lo yasu. They are not to hire themselves out. After all, you're talking about people that are mourners, so they're not allowed to hire themselves out. However, if before he became a mourner, he had been hired out to serve some people in this capacity as a donkey driver, a camel driver, or a ship hand, so then he is allowed to do it. If we look at the Rashi, v'im hoyu muhkorin muskorin haim o behemton etzel achirim, either they are hired out or their animals are hired out by others, l'mala chodesh chodshayim, for a journey of a month or 2 months, harei elu yasu haim le'atzmon v'lo yafsidu kol schoran. So they're allowed themselves to do it and not expected to take a loss in income. And likewise, the owner who needs these services won't lose out. Rashi adds here that in this context, it doesn't say that others should do it for them. They are themselves hired out. So, being that that was the original arrangement, they continue doing so. But when it comes to land work, there's no movement from one place to another, so others can take their place. Let's turn back to the Tanaic source. Schir Yoim Afilu Bi'ir Acheres Lo Ya'aseh. Rashi, Schir Yom, Rashi says he's hired for Yom Echad, his services even for one day. V'afilu bi'ir acheres, even if it's in another town. V'ein yodim shom shu ovel. They don't know in that other town that he's a mourner. V'lekom yishu maris ayin. And there isn't any bad impression that's created. They don't know anything about his status. Lo yaseh, Rashi continues, hoyu ubiyodei lachzor, since he's hired for one day, the Torah maintains a provision for a person who's hired for a day can back out in the middle of the day. That since it's in his power to back out, it's not a big loss after all. How a person isn't going to profit so much just by virtue of one day's work. So a schir yom, the Gemara told us, even if he's hired to work in another town, he is not to do so. And the Gemara text continues, hoisa. Another case, hoysa meleches achirim biyado. Others sought out his services. For example, they hired someone to weave a garment. The text that you see in the brackets is a little complicated. It's difficult. In other words, the Gemara points out a difficulty in the text. After the brackets is the accepted text, which reads Bain Kibolis, Bain She'eno Kibolis, Lo Yaseh. Whether the work arrangement is work arrangement, which means you're getting paid for the job, whether it's that kind of arrangement, or it's he'll get paid, but not for the job, but maybe be paid by the hour, by the day. That's a non-kablonis arrangement. Nevertheless, he is not to do it. So now let's go back over the source section with the brackets. Hoiso melechas achir miyodo, and the bracket says afal pi shebe kiboles lo yase. Even though it's a kiboles arrangement where he's hired not by the day, not by the hour, but he's hired he's paid per job. So he was hired to weave a beged for someone, and he would be paid for the garment. So the language indicates that even though it is this kind of arrangement, we're gonna tell him not to do it. Seeming to indicate that there was, if anything, there was more likelihood of our being lenient over here. So the source is telling us, even though you thought to be lenient, we're not going to be lenient. But the Gemara says that can't be the proper understanding. Afal pi shebekibeles, even though he was going to be paid by the job, velo mibayo shebekibeles, and it would go without saying, another kind of payment arrangement? Adarabba, to the contrary. Ki boiles kididei dami. When someone is paid by the job, it's considered, until the job is done and the item handed to the customer, it's considered as if it's your own. And a mourner to do his own thing certainly is restricted, certainly prohibited. So, if anything, the kablonis arrangement, the kibolis arrangement, is reason for more restriction. Therefore, elo emo, rather, the source should teach you thusly. Bain kibolis, whether it's a kibolis arrangement, bain she'eno kibolis, or it's a non-kablonis arrangement. As we said, he's hired, let's say, to be paid by the hour or by the day. Either one of these situations, lo yaseh, he should not do it. He shouldn't continue, let us say, weaving the garment. Hoiso melachto biyad achirim. Let's say the mourner himself had given his article to someone else to be cared for, to be taken care of, to be mended, to be repaired, fixed, or to be manufactured. So the mourner is, we'll call him the balabayas. So, what about those that are working on his items? Bevesoi lo yase, in the mourner's house, the workers should not come in and do things in the mourner's house. People will think that it'll lead to ill reputation. People will think, not so much reputation, but he'll fall under suspicion that he himself is helping out the workers. or people will think that he hired them now, when after he became a mourner. So therefore, in his own house, in the mourner's house, these things should not be done. Bevayis acher ya'asu. However, if, let us say, a mourner had given over his clothing to be mended, to be repaired into some tailor's house somewhere else, so the tailor can continue working on the garment that happens to be owned by someone who right now is a mourner. Here we have a name, Merion Brei Deravin, Umar Brei Derav Acha Brei Derava, Hava Luhu Hahu Gamlo Detura Bahadi Hadadi. They had a pair of gamlas, a pair of tura, of oxen, and they would hire out the pair of oxen to others in exchange for a fee, a rental fee. Isra Bei Milsa, this expression Isra Bei Milsa means a death occurred, in other words, Avelus set in, Bemor Bre Derav Acha Bre Derava. So one of the two that owned this pair of oxen, so he became an Ovel. And at this point, though, his oxen, his ox and the other and Mor Brei Derav Acha's ox were hired out. They were rented out to someone else. They were hired out, and Mor Brei Derav Acha, feeling that he's now a mourner, upaske legamle, he stopped his ox, who was mafsik his shor from the gamle, is the tzemet, as Rashi says, the pair. So he didn't send his ox in to work that day or that week when he was a mourner. There's a bit of a problem now. The person who had hired these animals now isn't going to be able to have his field cared for. You need two oxen to, let's say, to draw the plow. Omar Ravashi. Ravashi asks on Mor Brei Derav Acha's decision to withhold his animal now. Gavra Rabba, a great man, Kamor Brei Derav Acha, Ovid Hochi, would he behave thusly, do thusly? He, the Lipsedo Dide Lo Chayish, granted, he doesn't concern himself with his own loss, Adachirim Lo Chayish, is he not concerning himself with someone else's loss? After all, his animal was hired together with, as a pair, along with Merion, with Merion's ox. But now, with Mor Brei Derav Acha became an ovel in his withdrawal of his own ox, the other ox isn't going to be able to be hired out to continue the work singularly. So why did Mor Brei Derav Acha behave this way, namely withdrawing his ox? V'hotanya, we have the following source that says, Im hoyu muskorin o muhkorin etzel acherim, hare elu yasu. If the mourner's item, in this case, the mourner's animals are rented out or they're hired out by others, they can continue working. So was that not the case over here, where Mor Brei Derav Acha's ox was hired out? So why did he withdraw his animal or restrict his animal from working while he was a mourner? The Husavar, Mor Brei Derav Acha, who did withhold his animal, he felt Odom Choshev Shaini, a man of high standing is different. A different standard is applied. And as such, he felt he should act in this more restrictive capacity. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, especially in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our Shiur for today.